Okay, everybody, so today's daf is daf Lamed Aleph. We're holding the last line on Lamed Omid Beis. El Omar Papa Ashida of Nachma Yitzchak Omar A Yayin. What is this referring to? You recall the middle of the Omid Beis yesterday, we had a memra of Omar Ula Omar Abchanina Halacha K'Reb Shimon Shizuri. We paskin like Reb Shimon Shizuri in this case. For the Oyden, not only in this case, and the Gemara asked, "Ahai, when we say that we paskin like Shimon Shizuri in this case, which is the this case that we are referring to?" And the Gemara went through two or three different halachas of Shimon Shizuri, and we said that's probably not what Ula Omer Reb Chanina was referring to. So therefore, said the Gemara, which memra, which halacha of Reb Shimon Shizuri was Ula Omer Reb Chanina saying, "Yo, that's the halacha, that's the one." So says Rav Papa, he's referring to the Shida case. Rav Nachman Yitzchak said we're referring to the Yayin case. So what are these two cases? Rav Papa Omer Ashida. We're now on the top of Lamed Aleph Omer Aleph. Zitnan, we learned in the Mishnah. Hashida. Now the Gemara often brings three things together. That is Shida, Teva, Umigdal. And the Gemara says about these three, since they happen to be so large, they are not metaltal mole verekon. Since they're not metaltal mole verekon, they are not mekabel tuma. Now, how large are we talking about? So the Gemara chaps on the Shida, the same thing would apply to the Teva and to the Migdal, that they have a volume of mem sa'a. To give you an idea of mem sa'a, the minimum shear of a mikveh is memsa. So if you think a standard mikveh, most of our mikvehs are chumra, in other words, they're not the minimum of memsa, but nevertheless, that's a large volume. So that's the shida that we're talking about. If it machzik, if it can fill up a volume of 40 saw balach, then the halacha is it's not mekabel tumah. If you remember, we spoke about this the other day, that because of the fact that it's so heavy, typically, it's osui lenachas. It stays in one place, and it's never moved. However, the Gemara said, by the Shulchan, in fact, even though it was so heavy, it was moved. Why was it moved? To go and show to the Oyler Golem of the Chibas HaMokoyim that Silukai Kisiduroi, a week later, it's still piping hot, like it came out of the oven a week ago. Okay, so that's all very, very fine. That is the shear of 40 saw. The question is, how do you measure the 40 saw is a machlekes between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel.
Has to be full or empty?
It could even be empty. We're just talking about how large this shida is, that it's not mekabel tuma. In other words, if it's a small little nothing, it is mekabel tuma. If it's large, then it's not mekabel tuma. The question is, what's the volume of large? The volume of large is the shear of 40 saw of bilach, which is Kurai and Biyavesh, but we don't have to go into those details. So it's the shear of 40 saw balach. Were you to fill it with liquid, you would continue filling and filling and filling and filling and filling until you got to 40 saw, and if it could hold such a large volume, then it's no longer mekabel tuma. That is according to, okay, so now the question is, how do you measure it? So Beis Shammai says, nimdedes mi bifnim. Like we just said, go and take a hose and start filling it up and figure out what the volume is. Wow, it has mem saw. I could theoretically toivel inside this huge, huge shida. Then it's no longer mekabel tuma. Beis Hillel says that the shear is not from the inside, it's from the outside. Beis Hillel omrim mi bachutz, that you can go and the shear is not nimdedes mi bifnim, but mi bachutz. So there seems to be an extra aleph over here.
Yeah.
I know, it's probably a printing mistake. Anyway, the question is, how, in fact, are you modeid mi bachut? So the Shita Mekubetzis has a very easy way. If you look at the Shita Mekubetzis here on the left-hand margin, look at the first shtickle is nemdedes mi bifnim, es chalola, go and measure its halal. Halal means its hollow, what it can hold in its space. Sheim chalola machzekis memsa, then you know it's tahira, that this is not mekabel tum. But what's mi bachut? Mishalshalin kol hashida b'toich kli godoil meloy mayim. It's what we call displacement volume. And that is, take the entire shida, lower it down into a huge kli, which is full of water. Take, for instance, into a large swimming pool, the mushel, and assume that the pool is full to the top, till the rim. Now, put this big sheet in. Water comes over the side. Collect all of that water together. And if that amount of water is memsa, then it's tahira. The amount, and if not, it's tumeh. I'm sorry?
This is where Archimedes is learning his principles.
Yeah, it could be. David Zamoyso, please put yourself on mute. There's some background noise.
Archimedes is earlier than this.
Anyway,
sounds like he's pouring the water.
He's pouring water?
Yeah.
Okay. So that's why he's pouring the water today to Mimaramas and today's Gemara. Oh, beautiful.
Show and tell.
Brother Shah, you're wonderful. So, Beis Shammai says that you do the Medida from inside. Beis Hillel says you do the Medida from outside. Umoidim, but both of them agree. Moidim elu ve'elu. Shein oivei haraglayim v'oivei halivazvazin nimdad. What does that mean? That we only go and measure either the inside, according to Beis Shammai, according to Beis Hillel, even the outside, the entire, Rashi said the Nafkamina would be, for instance, the thickness of the walls of this large, huge shida, this large, huge box. According to Beis Shammai, that is not included in the Medida. According to Beis Hillel, that is included in the Medida. But they both agree that if the box has on the bottom of it legs to stand on, that those legs are already considered to be accessories and not the actual shida itself. And the same thing applies to the oive halivazvizin. Vazvizin, says Rashi, means a frame, a mezgeris, on the top of this shida. You can think of it as a rim. You could think of it as a nice frame on top. Again, that was an accessory that was not part of the original box. It was added. That is not included. Rabbi Yosi, Oimer, Rabbi Yosi in the fourth line says, Moidim, Sha'oivi haraglaim va'oivi halavazvazin, are nimdat. We do include those after all. Ubeinayan ein nimdat. When we say that something is not included, it's the ear space between the legs. In other words, you have legs on the bottom of this large shida, and between the legs there's also ear space. You can add to your formula of the 40 saw, even the thickness of the legs, that's also considered to be part and parcel, so to speak, of the shida. But any ear space in between one leg and the other, that is not included in your measurement. Rav Shimon Shazuri Oimer, Emhoyu Raglayim Givoyos Tefach, if the legs on the bottom of the box were at least one tefach tall, Ein Beinayan Nimdad, then you do not include the ear space. Why? Rashi says, because a tefach is a dover choshuv, and so therefore mokim choshuv, and so therefore you wouldn't automatically say that this is tafel to the larger shida. However, if you're talking about the imlav, that it's less than a tefach, it's only 2 or 3 inches tall, not a full tefach, so therefore it's such a minimal space that you would even agree and throw in that ear space as part of your 40 saw to make this tahar. That's the end of this Mishnah, and now we have to throw in Amar Abba about this. It was said yesterday. Amar Ula, Amar Abchanina, Halacha Kireb Shimon Shazuri. We pass Kireb Shimon Shazuri. That what? That you do include the ear space underneath the shida in your calculations, as long as it's less than a tefach of height of ear space. But once you hit tefach or more, then you cannot include it because it doesn't become secondary to the shita. So that's the end of that shikl. Just a couple of ha'orais, and that is, we didn't really define what a shida is. We think of a shida as being a very, very large box. However, the Tapt Toises brings Rashi, not from here, but Rashi in Shabbos and other places, that says that the definition of the word shida is merkevis noshim. Merkevis noshim means that it is a wagon that women used to go and sit on when they would go and travel from place to place. They didn't have taxis, Ubers, and Lyfts in those days, or if they did, they weren't in the form of automobiles, but rather they were in the form of horse-drawn carriages. Right, and these were especially for women, that's why they were called shida. Very special. Toisis is not happy with that pshat, because Toisis says, if they're miyuchad for sitting in, so then it becomes like a moishev or mishkav, and therefore they should have a din of tumas medras. And if they are miyuchad for Tumas Medrash, then you don't need to come on to metaltum olivarekan. The reason why they are mekabel tumah is because of the fact that people sit in them and lie in them, etc. And Tosis even says, if you look at the second line of Tosis, third line, the kasha dimkein lamali medida. Any kli which is miyuchad, set aside for moishiv or mishkav. The Gemara always talks about the Tumas Medrash, that if you want to figure out whether this is miyuchad or not, you go and tell the person who's sitting there or lying there and say, amoid v'nasam alachteinu. The person, for instance, is sitting on a milk crate. Does a milk crate have a din of a Tumas Medrash because you're sitting on it? And the answer is no, because the milkman, the delivery man, is going to call and say, hey, mister, can you get up, please? I need to go and take this box to go and deliver the next supply of milk to the next building or whatever it is. So therefore, that's the expression of moid v'nasim lachtein. But here, by the case of the Shida, this is miyuchad for purposes of sitting, but that's why these carriages are made for this very purpose. So therefore, I don't need to come on to the fact that with all these medidos, it is, since it's mekabel tuma alts medris, then it's mekabel tuma. And Tosis even adds that Philip Shuta creates hamiyuchad in the medris. What happens if I have a long, long plank, a long, long board? It has no rim around it, it's just flat. No, pshut kliyets are not mekabel tuma. However, if they're miyuchad lemedris, if people sit on them, if people lie on them, then again, it is mekabel tuma after all. So therefore, Tosis is not happy with the pshat of Rashi. If you want to see what Tosis' pshat in Shita is, go down half of the Amud, the line in Tosis begins, v'yesh loimar da'ayre besvinois gidoilois she'ikran asuyois loseis letoichen prakmatia. You're traveling on a large boat.
Cargo.
Obviously, half of the boat is meant for passengers, but part of the boat is also meant for cargo. So you go and put cargo into those large containers, presumably
the containers on the ships now.
So that's where it comes from. How did the shipmakers know about that? They learned this Tosis, and they know that you have to put a sheet on top of your svina. Otherwise, where are you going to put the prakmatjit? You have to. This is the Tosis. Well, they damn the matters. Therefore, this is not a place that you sit down. If you were to sit down on that place, people say, get up, I have to go and put my box in, I have to take my box out. Don't sit there and cause tzuris with it. So that was one pshat, and then there's another pshat down below. If you look at Mir Rabin Chananel, it's the four lines before the wide lines. Mir Rabin Chananel, Pirish Aluktamim. Aluktamim is another name for this Shida business. And he says, Makins Gedoyle Shaholchen Aleyen Halitzonim Lechidush. The ain tamei medris, even the ain asuyois lahanoas medris midi or midi dehava asulam to memait beparshas vayhibiyem eshmini, etc. In other words, he's saying there's another taich to this shida. This is where probably some sort of stage or whatever that the leitzonim meaning of course the clowns would get up and they would go and perform their acts and perform their tricks. And this was not a place that people would lie down. So therefore, that's another definition of shida. Okay.
So we went through all this because we're trying to figure out where Chanina said halacha Shimon Tzadzuri.
Exactly, we need to know what he was talking about. If he's paskening the Gabi Hilcha Shida, so we have to know what a Shida is.
He wasn't clowning around.
He wasn't clowning around.
What's the point of all this? We're saying is whenever Shimon Tzadzuri speaks in a machlokas, halacha kamoso, so why do we need to know which one? Wherever he's speaking, the halacha kamoso.
We're going to talk about that later on the bottom of the Omid as well. But we wanted to know when Ula Amar Rav Chanina said, here is the halacha, and not only here, but like, everywhere else, where is the here? So the here is this halacha of Shida. One other ha'ara before we continue on to the yayin is that l'choira, Rabbi Yossi is very, very shver. Rabbi Yossi says on the fourth line, Rabbi Yossi oimer moidim, both Reshamai and Beisil are moida, that we include the oive haraglayim, the oive halavazvasim. The question is, if everybody agrees that the Oiver Harglayim is covered, wouldn't you think that according to Beis Shammai, then the actual Shidas outside would also be covered? After all, we have Machlokes Beis Shammai Beis Hillel. Do we only look at the internal measure of volume? Or Beis Hillel says you look externally, even the Nasarim, even the planks of wood which have been nailed together to form this large carriage or large cargo box, or large platform for Leitzonim, or whatever it happens to be. If you, Beis Shammai says, no, you don't count that. You only count the internal. So if that's the case, I'm sorry?
For Machmer.
Exactly. That's a Bishamli Shitasa who's Machmer. So the question is, how could Rabbi Yossi say Moidim, but they both agree that you do include the thickness of the raglaim of the feet? That doesn't seem to make sense. If you hold that even the outside of the box is not included in your measure, how could the thickness of the legs be included in your measure? So this is not my kasha. This is a kasha of Rabbeinu Shmuel. Who's Rabbeinu Shmuel? That's in the Shita Mekubetzes. That's the next shtickle Shita. Rabbi Yossi Oimer, it's about 7-8 lines in. Rabbi Yossi Oimer, Eilav Eilav Moidim, Kosha Lemoidi Rab Rab Shmuel. Heich Efshe, to Moide Beishame Baha, to Oiver Reglayim Nimdodid, Ha Omar Nimdedes Mibethnim. Only the internal volume. He says even the outer box is not even included. And yet the Reglayim are included. And therefore, Umatzim Piperushim Yishonim, Rabbeinu Shmuel found in Alta Svarim from many, many, many years earlier, Mesech Shabbos, in fact, there's no machloikis. The Tanakhama of this Mishnah that we are quoting here at the top of the Amud says there is a bit machloik Beisham Beisil. Do we include the only Mimifnim or even Mibachutz? According to Rabbi Yossi, according to these Sfarim Yishanim quoted by Rabbi Shmuel, who is quoted by the Shita Mekubetzes, says, Rabbi Yossi said, no, there is no machloikis. Even Beishamai agrees to Beisil that you include the outer box. So then, what is the discussion over here? Do you even include the Oiver HaGlayim? And Rabbi Yossi says, yes, you do include, according to both of them, the Oiver HaGlayim. So where's the Machlokes? The only thing that they exclude is Ubeneim Ein Nimda. Again, there's no Machlokes here either. Rabbi Yossi says, both of them agree to everything, that it's the outside, not the inside. You add the Raglayim, you add the Levazmizim, you just leave out the space down below. On that, Shem Shuzuri says, it really depends on how tall the feet are down below. If the feet are one tefach or higher, you can't include the airspace because that's too choshev. If it's less than that, then you just throw that into the mix, and that would be enough to give you the 40 sa. Okay, so now that we've concluded that shtickel, on to Rav Nachman Yitzchak Omer Ayayin. That when Ula Omer Reb Chanina said, here the halacha is like Shem Shuzuri, he's talking about the famous Yayin case, which is a Yayin case that now we learned in the Mishnah. Reb Meir Omer, Shemen Tchila Li Oilem. Chom Omer Afa Dvash, Reb Shem Shuzuri Omer Afa Yayin. Now what is this all about? It's of course about the Gabi Hilchus Tumah V'Tahara. Now normally when you have Tumah V'Tahara, as you know, things go down in stages, meaning that typically your real tumah, such as the nevela or the dead sheret, is called an avatumah. That avatumah is the main tumah. There are exceptions to the rule. There is, of course, by the tumas mes aviyavaisa tumah. But we're talking about standard tumah. You start off with an avatumah. Now that avatumah, if that nevela, for instance, touches a person or a kli, they become tumah. Because an av creates what is known as a rishon v'tumah. And an avatum is matame odom v'kelim. So now that odom that touched the nevela, he's a rishon. Or the kli is a rishon. Now what happens if that odom or kelim now touch another odom or another kli? The answer is nothing happens. So there was a nevela on the street. I by accident touched it. I became full of tumah. And now I greeted my good chaver and I gave him a handshake, or if I was brother shy, I'd give him two embraces. And now I think to myself, is that other individual also tamei? And the answer is no, because since I touched the nevela, I became a rishon. Rishon is not metame odem v'kelim; it's only metame oichlin or mashkin, food items. So now if I touch the food, it became tamei. So if I'm to be a chaver, I wouldn't be able to eat from that food. Amaretz, I'd be able to. But if I was touching truma chulila, then it becomes tamei. Then even the kohen is not allowed to go and eat from it. But anyway, so that's the din of the person becoming a rishon and creates a sheni. Now, what happens if the person now touches the oichlin or mashkin and they become a sheni? By chulin, the din of tuma ends there. In other words, there is no shlishi by chulin. If, however, the oichlin or mashkin were to go and touch truma, then the truma becomes posel meaning that it itself would stop, in other words, it would become a shlishi, but it doesn't continue on, because by truma you don't have more than a shlishi. If you're talking about kodshim, it goes all the way to a revi. Okay, so there's halacha in Mesechtes Psachim, which is also really in Masechta Shabbos, where it talks about the sugya of Tuma V'Tahara. It says, "Kol ha'poisel es ha'truma v'tamim mashkin liyois tchila." What does that mean? Kol ha'poisel es ha'truma. You have a sheni which causes something, causes truma now to become posel, in other words, become tamei. That sheni that we're talking about, were it to go and touch ochlin of chulin, nothing would happen, because it's a sheni. If it touches, however, mashkin, then that mashkin magically not only becomes tamei, but it goes in reverse. It becomes itself a rishon. It becomes a step up, an upgrade. Instead of going from sheni down to shlishi, or even staying at the sheni stage, you touch the mashkin and they become a rishon.
Any mashkin.
So now we can, that's what the discussion is going to be. So kol ha'poisel is a truma, in other words, something which is a sheni, it passes truma to make it into a shlishi. If it were to go and touch mashkin, that mashkin becomes tchila, means it becomes a rishon. That is not min ha-toira, that's midrabanan. What's the reason why the Chacham put on that mashkin this magical effect that it becomes a tchila? Okay. The Gemara gives a slightly different reason, and the Gemara says is because oichlin are not that vulnerable. I'm sorry. Yeah. The oichlin are not as vulnerable to be mekabel tuma as mashkin. Why? Because for an oichl to be mekabel tuma, it first has to be mukshir lekabel tuma. What means mukshir lekabel tuma? That one of the seven mashkin fell on it, and the person smiled from ear to ear and says, "Oh, that's great! I'm so happy." Because there has to be nichalei, and only then is it mekabel tuma. Mashenkin mashkin, you don't need the hechsher. Of course, it itself happens to be the mashkin. But there's no din of being machshir, the mashkin, the kabotum. So the Gemara calls that there more alulim liyois tumeim. It's easier, they are more vulnerable to hilchois tumavitar. Because in that, says the Gemara, so that people should realize that mashkin are so much easier, more easily susceptible to makabel tumah, the Chum made a special din that these mashkin now revert and they become now etchela. Okay, so that's an important halach in Hilchos Tuma V'Tahara. What does it have to do with us? The question is, how do you define the word mashke? Yes, the gabi, the machshirim, we know that there are seven, the yat shachada. But we're not talking about a machshir. Now, we're not talking about mashkin that are being mekabel tuma, so that subsequently they can be metame others as if they happen to be a full-fledged rishon. So how do you define a mashke? Well, water, of course, is a mashke. But we have now a three-way machlokes here in the Mishnah. Not remeir oimer shemen tchila li oilam. Shemen has a din of tchila. In other words, oil has the same din as any other mashke. The gabi this, that if a tuma touched it, it reverts to becoming now, it's upgraded to become a rishayin. V'chom oimim afa dvash, even if you're talking about honey. And if Shemesh is uri oimer afa yayin, even wine. Now the Gemara immediately screams, even wine? Mechal de Tanakama, Sava Yayin Loi? A Yayin, of course, is a mashke. Did anybody ever think that Yayin is not a mashke? I can understand that Shemen and honey, they travel very slowly. And you could look upon them as being perhaps not a real exclusive mashke, because they go slowly as if they happen to be a machel, especially if you have very thick oil or very thick honey. It could take you a while for it to get it out of the jar.
You have a wine concentrate also.
That can be reconstituted into wine. Shemen can't be reconstituted into diluted shemen. Dvash can't be reconstituted into diluted dvash. But if you have that, we had in Avodah Zarah those ceramic that the soldiers used that soldiers used that
Cheres Hadaryonus.
Thank you, Cheres Hadaryonus. They would concentrate the wine in these things. That's the word. And then they would reconstitute it. So desiccated wine is still wine. It's just lacking water.
Mm-hmm. Good. And our Gemara Lamaisa asks Mechlal the Tanakama Sava Yayin Loi, with the Tanakama disagree that Rav Shimon Chazuri says, and don't forget Yayin. Come on, everybody agrees that Yayin is a mashke. The Gemara, you're right, Eimer Rav Shimon Chazuri, Eimer Yayin, not Af Yayin. Yayin. What does it mean by Yayin? Says Rashi, only wine and not Shemen and not Devash. These are not really mashkois. You can think of them as being a mashke, but not for these halachas. And for these halachas, you look upon them as being an ochel and not a mashke. So if tuma touches them, they do not revert and they're not upgraded to become a tchila. Bottom line is, this is what Rav Nachman Ben Yitzchok was referring to when he said that ayayim, that that's what Ula Umar Reb Chanina was referring to when he said Allah Hashem Shazuri, that the Gabi, this Hilchos Mashke upgraded to becoming a Tchila, is only Yayin and not Shemen and not Vash. With this we have concluded this half of what Ula Umar Reb Chanina said. What do I mean this half? That Allah Hashem Shimon Shazuri over here. We're soon going to get to the Veloy Oid that everywhere else. We're going to talk about that soon. But in the meantime,
Reb Shimon Shazuri, only Yayin, water doesn't...
No, only of these three. Of course, water and an orange juice and apple juice and other fruit juices would all be considered right.
Vinegar?
Everything would get...
Vinegar is wine, it's spoiled.
Exactly. I have a lot of wine which I open it up, it feels spoiled anyway, even if it's fresh.
It's dry.
Yeah, it's very dry. But even though it's dry, it still has a din of a mashke, it doesn't get a din of a solid. So maybe that's what he's referring to, dry wine. So dry wine
is not dried out, it's just dry.
Okay. Anyway, that's what we call dry humor. Beginning back to our Gemara now. And the Gemara is now going to talk about another Reb Shimon Shazuri. No, Baruch Hashem. Tanya Om Reb Shimon Shazuri. Now notice the last two that we had were Ditnan and Ditnan. These were Mishnayos. This is a Braisa. I only point it out because that's going to become important at the top of the Amid base. It's Tanya Om Reb Shimon Shazuri. Pam Achas Nisarev Li Tevel Bechulin. One time I had a pile of tevel. Tevel, of course, means that the grain or the paters were not mufrish trumas and maisris yet. And they got mixed together with chulin, which, yes, trumas and maisris were given. And the two piles merged together as one. And now what do I do? So now if it would only be tevel, of course, I would be mafrish trumas and maisris. There would be no problem. The problem over here got mixed in together with a chulin. So anything that I take out of this huge heap that got mixed together, I might be taking out the chulin, and the chulin, of course, is potter from giving trumas and maisers, and you cannot be mafrish mi p'tur al hachiyuv, the only one, p'tur al hachayiv. You can only go and do from tu chiyuvim. You can't go and do from something which was already chulin. You can't go and give trumas and maisers on something which is tevel. Rashi has two pshatim over here, whether referring to full-fledged tevel or demai. Rashi initially starts off saying that we're talking about tevel of demai, but later on concludes that we're talking about bona fide tevel. Anyway, regardless, in either case, you have to go and be mafresh something, otherwise you can't eat from this tevel chulin mixture. What should I do, says Reb Shimon Shazuri? V'sha'alti Reb Tarfon, I asked Reb Tarfon, v'yomalini told him, I have for you an aitza. Lech kach l'chom min ashuk, v'aser olav. Now here, Rashi says clearly, go and buy in the shuk from an amoritz, but go and buy demai. And now you're going to go and give demai, but aser olav, go and remove from that demai the shear of maisris. Demai, you don't have to give truma, because you assume that amoritz gave the truma. You only have to go and give the maiser. And the assumption is that this nisarvli tevel that we spoke about before, that it's talking about that you already gave the truma, so that wasn't a problem. So now the question only is, how is that going to help? Because Kosovar, Diaraisa, Beruba bottle, the Shita takes that out, and he says, skip to Kosovar, Roiv, Ami, Oritz, Ma'asrin, Haim, Vahavale, Kitoirim, Minhaptur, Al Haptur, or Minhapotur, Al Haptur. What does he mean? To be able to go and be Mafish, Maisris, so that it should be effective and valid, they have to be both the medium that you're using to use as the mu'usr,
the tikkun.
The tikkun, good. Both the tikkun and the one that becomes misukan, both have to be of the same degree of chiv or of ptur. Aha. Okay, so since we're talking about that the tevel got mixed into the chulin, learning the way Rashi learns lemaisa, that we're talking about not tamai, but we're talking about regular tevel. So Rashi says that min ha-toira, tevel can become bottle beroif. And here we're talking about a situation where the tevel was relatively a small quantity. The chulin was a large quantity. So the chulin would go and outweigh or would mimavatel the tevel. And min ha-toira, you wouldn't need to go and give masrus anymore because roif is chulin. You go basar roif.
Isn't isr to mavatel isr l'chatchila? I mean,
did he do l'chatchila? Nisarvli, he went to bed, wakes up in the morning, he sees the wind merged into it.
Okay.
Of course he's not allowed to be ma'arvin chachal. We're talking about that it got nisarv by human error or because the wind pushed them together.
So why do you need anything from the shuk then? If the chulin already outnumbers the...
Very good. And that was min ha-toyah. midrabanan, the tevel does not become bottle. So mina toira, it does become bottle. While midrabanan, it doesn't become bottle. Not only doesn't become bottle, it's osir b'mashu. Even if the tevel is only one
particle,
one stalk of wheat, and gets mixed into 10,000 stalks of wheat, which were all chulin, because they already was mafish, trumas, and maisers, the whole thing has a status of tevel midrabat, not minatayra. Minatayra, it's bottle, because a bottle berayv.
100, I thought.
That's truma. Here we're talking about tevel. Okay. If you look at Rashi, not making this up, Rashi, right before the white lines, the nira be'enai, 2-3 lines before the white line, the nira be'enai sha tevel hazeh tevel gomer haya, bottle, it's bottle, the midiraisa chad betray bottle. In other words, it's just two against one, done, it's bottle. Lav dafke, two, a portion of 2-1. It just means, even in a minimum situation, it's bottle. V'havli potter midiraisa. Rabbanan hu di achmer bevi omer tevel asa memashu, memashu. V'tzvichol hafesh olof truman, therefore you're going to have to go and give truman. Uminei uvibei loy dechul nesukah. To go and give trumas and maisers from that mixture that we spoke about, that the chulin got mixed with the tevel, can give from there. So I can't go and say, take 2%, 5%, 10% of this mixture, because everything that you're pulling out might very well be chulin. So therefore, that doesn't work. So the Tarfet says, what we have to do is find another dirabanan. That minha toira, it's mutalach, mutalach. It's only mechuya midraban. So I have a good idea. This tevel min ha-toira really is bottle mevotel. Why is it bottle mevotel? Because it was a small percentage among the schulin. It could even be a large percentage, 51-49. But lemaisa became bottle. Midraban, however, it is mechuya in trumas lemaisas. Ah, so go and get now tevel, not tevel, go and buy tvua now from the Amoret. Roiv Amoret ma'asrin hein. So therefore, min ha-toira, there's no problem, you go basa roiv. Achri rabba lahatoi. So you don't have to give trumas and maisers, or you don't have to give maisers. What's the reason why we are ma'aser? Because the chachamim felt that there was at least a small percentage, and we want to be careful, and therefore they said, Demai, go and give midrabban. And that's why you don't have to. So therefore, says the Gemara, says Reb Tarfon, I now have a case of potter min ha-toira on potter min ha-toira, mechuyev derabbanan on mechuyev derabbanan. Because that tevel that got mixed together with the chulin, min ha-toira is potter, it's bottle beroiv, but midrabbanan you have to go and give. Ah, same thing by the demai. Min ha-toira you wouldn't have to give. It's only midrabbanan. So do a derabbanan on derabbanan, what the Gemara calls min ha-ptur al ha-ptur.
By the demai, don't you have to do miser?
Yes, you do have to give miser. So that's what we're going to do now. I have my big, big heap of the mixture of the tevel together with the chulin, I have to go and give, and I know that the tevel was be'erech echvais, a volume of a gallon, a volume of a saw, whatever the volume was, I have to go and give trumas and maisers. I go and buy demai from my favorite amaret, I have to go and give maisers on the demai itself, and I'm going to go and add, not only for demai, I'm going to go and give also from that demai onto the tevel that got mixed in together with the chulin.
So chita achas mechayeves as hakri, as it were.
Okay. Exactly. All right. Anyway, so that's l'chayra and eitza toiva. Toiva min aptur aptur. For eitimora, I have another eitza. V'leimu kach leich kach min aivik echovim. After all, in the marketplace, there are goyim that also sell tvua in Eretz Yisrael, all the Arabs that sell. So the oibazoi, let's go and buy from them. And since it was an Arab that we assume owned the field, and he was the one that harvested all the grain, so it's going to be, again, potem min ha-toira, only mechuyi midrabanan, and now let's go do up min ha-ptur al-ptur. I have another eitzah. Everything works out.
From a Torah?
I'm sorry, once again?
He's from Eretz Yisrael.
Everything in Eretz Yisrael. But the... it's not a field which is owned by you or me or by a fellow Jew. It's owned by a fellow human being known as a goy. So now the question is that mechuyev in trumas and maisers? The Gemara is assuming at this point that it's potter. Therefore, since it's potter min ha-toira, so I have another case, min ha-ptur al ha-ptur, I can go and give from this. Even though you hold that it's potter m'diraisa, the chachamim put on it a din of a chiyev of trumas and maisers midrabanan, The Gemara doesn't tell us why. Perhaps the reason is because we don't want to incentivize people to go and buy truma, the tvua from Goyim, figuring, oh, I don't have to give truma some maizris. So therefore they put on a din of truma some maizris even on Goyish tvua and produce. So the Gemara of Lengoy, so why didn't Reb Tarfon give that as a second etor? You know, maybe the first etor, give him two etors. Lema kech, lema le, lech kachmer ayvik chavim. Every marka savar, ein kinyan la'ivik chavim, er tisol lehafkia miyad maizr. Because this man, the Yomer, Reb Tarfon, holds no. Even though a goy bought this land, and he was the one that produced all of this tvua and all of this produce, although he, of course, doesn't have to give trumas and maizes, he's a goy, he doesn't have the tariag mitzvahs. But if a yid buys some of that tvua, they have to go and give. Because, as you would say, it's not a din in the gavra, it's a din in the chavtsa. So who cares who owns the field?
It's produce
that... It's Yisrael. It's mechuyev. Exactly. That's what Reb Tarfon holds. So therefore... So you could not use that as an Eitzah Toiva to go and give Trumas and Maizres from the Goyish owned produce, because that's Mechuyah Min HaTorah. And this case of the Tevel that got mixed in with Chulin is part of Min HaTorah, because since it's bottled Beroiv. So that would not be a good Eitzah. Ikadiyami, there's another version of this story that Reb Shimon Shazuri said to Reb Tarfon, Oy Vavoy, did you hear what happened to me? My Tevel got mixed in with Chulin. So Amalei, he told him, I have a good idea. Lech kachmer ayvik chavim. Go and buy from a goy. Why? Because kosava yesh kinyin ayvik chavim eretzisro lafkia miyad meiser. That, of course, is min ha-toirah. You do have to go and give trumas and meisers midrabanan. V'havalei min ha-ptor al-ptor. You have both the goyish tvua is part of min ha-toirah, but mechuyi midrabanan. And now your tevel that got mixed into the chulin is also part of min ha-toirah because it becomes bottle. Beroiv. However, midrabanan, we said that there's a chumra that the tevel is also b'mashu. So therefore, I have a case again of potem and hatoira mechuyim midrabanan. So do min aptur al aptur.
What about the truma?
Sorry,
the goy did not give truma.
The goy didn't give anything. The goy is not interested in giving truma. So it's not his business. You, the Jew, you want to? You don't take. That's your problem. It's not my problem. Frank Gemara v'lei malei kach mehashuk. Why didn't he go and tell him? Go and buy from the shuk from an Amoret.
Give a Jewish guy the business.
Give him the business, and now we'll have demai. In other words, that was the first eitz according to the first version. Kasava ein roiv Amoret ma'asrin. He holds that roiv Amoret are not ma'asr. So Rashi says ein roiv, and therefore it's like 50-50. 50% of the Amoratim did give, and 50% of the Amoratim did not give. And so
it's actually chayiv.
So as a result of the 50-50, he'll be chayiv in a Torah, because these are dinam deraisa of tumas and maizris. And when you have a safi deraisa lechumra, and then of course you'd be mechuyim in a Torah.
So the stuff is not in all fours with the stuff you're buying from the shuk.
Exactly.
And therefore it's a chayiv patur mixture, and therefore you can't master one on the other.
Exactly right. So that's why he gave that eitz instead of the other eitz. Okay, so we have the two versions. Which is the better eitz? The better eitz is either to go to the goy or do you go to the amoretz? Depending on what you hold, the gabe ein kinyon yesh kinyon ayvichom beretz Yisrael, as well as whether you think that roiv amoretz ma'aser nehem or ein roiv amoretz ma'aser nehem. Zok di yomar sholach le rav yemer bal shalmi rab papa ha di yomar raven bar chinna amar ula amar reb chanina halach reb shimon shizuri. Where did he say his halacha? Either in the shida case or in the yayin case. But he said, "Loyoy, not only that, alakol ma'akim shishana Reb Shimon Shazuri halacha kamoisai." Does that include afpinis arav leitevul bechulin? That discussion that we've just been focusing on for the last 10 minutes. Amalayem yo vada vada. That's what the loyoy includes, even that case.
There wasn't halacha. There was a story.
Good, but what
it was with Reb Tarfon who was passing.
Okay, so please hold that for one moment. Omer Reb Ashi, Omeli Mar Zutra. Kosh ba Reb Chanina Misur. The word koshi ba, says Rashi, koshi ba means parach, means he asked. Pshita, I don't even understand what you are even clearing. You're saying, does that v'loy oid include our case of the Nisar v'lay Tavim Chulim? Mi ka'omar v'mishnah seinu. Kol makim shishana ka'omar. In other words, had he said v'loy oid, but any time we find Reb Shimon Shazuri in a Mishnah, we paskin like Reb Shimon Shazuri, so then... I would say only in a Mishnah. This is only a Braisa. As you recall, when we started, I pointed out before with Ditnan, by the case of the Shida, Metatevel, by the Shida and the Yayin. But here it's Tanya Reb Shimon Shazuri. So he says, Pshita, had Reb Ula Ula, Amar Reb Chanina said halacha Reb Shimon Shazuri. V'loy oid elakam makim b'mishna seino shishan Reb Shimon Shazuri halacha kemoisai. Then you'd have a good question. A good kefreit. It's only a brayz, it's not a mishna. Do we paskin like here or that? He says, pshita, since he didn't add the word mishna seino. He just said, v'loy oid elakam makim shishan akamah. It includes the same kol mokim. Wherever you find Reb Shimon Shazuri, we paskin like him. So what was this shayla in the first place? That's how the Gemara ends. In other words, saying l'chayr it's a dove poshet we paskin. So now the article says, what's the pshataka in the one that asked this question? Sholach le Rav Shemir Bal Shami Rav Papa. Does it include our case as well? Of course, he knew that. The Reb Ula Omer Reb Chanina didn't say the Mishnah Seinu. He said Kol Makom Shishana. So what was Taki his question that he asked? Halacha Kamoisi is halacha like Shim Shazuri, even in this case. So Artsko doesn't bring it from anybody else. So apparently it's the editor whoever wrote the Pirush Artsko on this particular parak. He says like Brother Barry was saying before, Reb Shim Shazuri didn't issue a psak. Rather, he told us what Reb Tarfin said. So Sol Gadai Techamina, since this was not a psak of Reb Shimon Shazuri. This was the psak of Reb Tarfin. Maybe this is not included. And therefore, that's what his question was. Do we paskin like Reb Shimon Shazuri, even in this case, in the story that he told of the psak of Reb Tarfin? He said, yo, avada, that's how we go in paskin. Meaning, the fact that Reb Shimon Shazuri did not negate, he didn't challenge Reb Tarfin, but he incorporated this story in the Braisa, it means Reb Shimon Shazuri supports this psak.
Reb Tarfin's helping him out. He's giving Reb Tarfin actually was a kohen. Okay. So Reb Tarfin's helping out Reb Shimon Shazuri. You have a problem. I'm giving you an etzah to solve
and,
your problem.
And you don't see Reb Shimon Shazuri arguing with that.
He's not saying not good enough. I want to be more fluent than you, Reb Tarfin. He's asking him for. You go to a rav for psak. The rav gives you a heter. Thank you very much.
Exactly. So that's he adopted that, and that's why we adopt that as well as being psak aloch in the name of Reb Shimon Shazuri. And with that, we finished the entire Reb Shimon Shazuri discussion. It's okay. And now you're all wondering to yourselves, what about Hilchos Stam? And we're going back to Hilchos Stam, Baruch Hashem. Omer Rav Zeira, Omer Rav Chananel, Omer Rav. We have a Sefer Torah which Rachmon Litzlon unfortunately has a tear. It has a rip in the Sefer Torah. Ay, ay, ay. The rip came, the mushel, from the top of the Sefer Torah and it's going downwards. At what point does it Chas V'Shalom passel the Sefer Torah? Omer Rav, Kera Haba Bishnei Shitin, if it invades two lines of writing, then Yitbar. You can still go quickly, call the person to be tofer it, to go and sew it up, and you can kasher it. Our Gemara doesn't go into it, however, the Mefarshim say it's Tafka if it didn't actually cut a letter. If it cut a letter, it's much more chum. So we're talking about that it went through the two lines of writing, but miraculously it went between a letter and a letter, between a word and a word, so it didn't go and damage any letters. Okay. If it goes through three lines of writing, which means it's already a deep kara, lo yitfar, al yitfar. Now it's already too late, it's all lost. However, Omele Rabba Zuti Ravashi, Hochi Omer Reb Yirmim Midifti Mishmei to Rabba, Hodi Amrinim Bisholish Al Yidbar. This is not a universal din by all Sefer Torah, like Amoran Elebi Atikta, only by old Sefer Torah. Avacharatata Leslan, but if it's brand new, this doesn't apply. What difference does it make whether it's an old Sefer or a new Sefer? I might have thought that maybe the reason is if it's an old Sefer and already started tearing, hey, it's only a question of time that it's going to tear through the whole thing. But Rashi does not learn that way. Rashi learns on the fourth line, Atika Klaf Yoshan, it's an old Klaf, Meganya Kriya. Any time that you're going to have a tear in it, it's going to look terrible. It's a brand new Sefer, nice and white and crisp and all that, even if it has, unfortunately, a Kera, it's not so Meguna. It is not so rejected, repugnant, or detestable. It's not nice. If it's Atika. Now, therefore, in our Gemara, until this point, it's a question of age. Atika means Christ. It's 100 years old, 500 years old. It's in the Jewish Museum. Nobody's used the Sefer Torah for 50 years. It's a brand new one. However, the Gemara now redefines the word old and new. V'loy atikta, atikta mamish. We don't really mean that it's old or ancient. V'loy chadadato, chadadato mamish. We don't mean it's brand new. Ela hod loy afitzen, hod de afitzen. Afitzen and loy afitzen means that they used to process the klaf, and they used to go and pour on it, gallnut juice. Gallnut juice, apparently.
Freshly squeezed.
Okay.
What's a gallnut?
A gallnut.
Yeah, no idea.
That you have to look up in the.
Let's go to Zabar's.
Either that or take fairway. Your. To ask the Google Goyen, ask him what he's the Google Hadar. He will tell you exactly what gallnuts are, and he'll show you a picture and how big and how small and gallnut juice. Anyway, but you have in other Gemaras that talk about klaf, that often they did go and process it with the gallnut juice, and often they did not process it with the gallnut juice. Apparently, this is not ma'akev. This is just perhaps a good preservative of some sort.
Right. I think we're in Baba Basra when we talk about forging shtaros, mm-hmm. and they talk about it, did it have it or not, because mm-hmm. if you had it, you can see that it was changed after it was processed. It's evidence of tampering.
Very good. And what difference does it make by uns? So if you look at Rashi on the fourth line, Afitzan havishaker ka'atika. When you go and pour this gallnut juice on the parchment, automatically it gets a darkish tint, as if it was already an old sefer. Ah, so therefore, when we're talking about that, unfortunately, if this kera goes through the third line, where we say now it's already too late, al yitzvar, you can no longer repair it. What would the chacham munavoinim say? A stitch in time saves nine. You should have gone and be tofer it, stitched
before
it up.
Before it got hit the third line.
Yeah, or even before the first line, but certainly before the third line, but you didn't. Then lo yitfar, then unfortunately you have to go, actually says, yisalikas yiri, you have to put it into Seamus. It's already too late. We're not talking about old svarim and new svarim, we're talking about old the gallnut svarim and the non-gallnut svarim.
Only that, not the whole separate
No, but only that, well, Rashi uses the expression yisalikas hayiri, which sounds like, I don't know why Rashi says that. Maybe the reason is because if this was a yiriya where between one daf and the next you only had two fingers, like we had yesterday, two finger breadths, then you couldn't go and properly stitch it up by just taking off that daf. So they presume you'd have to take the whole yiriya and put it into Geniza. If you bit a larger margin between the two, I presume you would just be able to take off that daf and then just re-sew up the remaining part of the yiriya with the next. Okay, regardless.
So yesterday, how many columns are going to be in the yiriya?
Up to nine. 5 and 4.
We said up to 8. Once you get into 9, it's no good anymore. Up to 8. From 3 to 8. But we said on the bottom of the Amid, what is the 3 to 8? Is that what your question is?
Yeah, that was
Daf. Well, yesterday was Daf Lamed.
Yeah,
so now, when did we talk about the 3 to 8? If you hear Lamed Amid Aleph, go down 2/3 the Amid, you'll see that there is a parenthesis, Simen Saglam.
Right.
From 3 until 8. Yes, okay. Don't do it. Good. But now the question is, how much space is there in the Gilyon? So that's all the way in the bottom of the Amid. Go down about 10 lines from the bottom. It says, taking two fingers together is approximately 2 inches or so. So if that in fact was the whole margin between one daf and the next, and one daf, unfortunately, there was a kera into three lines, it would be very difficult to say, okay, just cut off that daf and put that into Geniza and use the remaining part of the area, because there's no margin left to be able to attach for stitching purposes. However, if it was a larger margin, presumably you wouldn't have to go and put the whole urea into Seamus, only that daf. You see, we're just quoting here from the Rashi, the third line from the top, that moichik, no, that's yesterday's month, lamed aleph and mebeif, third line, bisholish al yidvar, al yisalik is here, just remove that entire urea and replace it with a brand new urea. Or perhaps even just a daf, if you had enough room for the stitching. And, okay, yes.
And then they put on gallnut juice so it matches the... You don't want it to be... This should be bright and this should be dark. You want it all to be the same tone.
Yeah, presumably. The Gemara doesn't discuss that, but what you're saying makes sense. Anyway, so the Gemara now tells us... So what has the Gemara told us? What the Gemara is telling us is, just like we said a moment ago, that in old Svarim, you can no longer go and toy for it and stitch it up. Why? Because it's Maguna. Says, well, we don't really mean old Svarim. We mean the gallnut processed Svarim, because those, said Rashi, are shachar. They look dark, a dark complexion. And if you have now a rip in it, it looks gefährlich. It's Maguna. However, if it's still nice and bright, because you did not put the processing of the gallnut juice, so it's a much brighter, lighter complexion. So then it's mishkeferlech, even if it gets into the third line, you could still be toferit. Again, that it didn't destroy any letters or words, it just went in between a letter or in between words. Vahari mili begin. When we're talking about tefira, we don't mean to go and just use thread of the garden light. Don't take just weaver's thread or thread that you buy in the store. That's begin. Begin are sinews, which are used exclusively for purposes of doing the tefiras on your Sefer Torah and tefillin and mezuzah. So, well, mezuzah you don't need it, but the tefillin, yeah. So, begin are sinews of an animal. Zokti Morabai, the boyer of Yehuda bar Abba, bein daf ledaf, bein shita leshita mai. We spoke about until now that you had a kera in the middle of a daf where there was writing. What happens if the kera was between one daf and the other, and the kera went up to three lines of writing? There was no writing there because it's in the margin. But right next to it, on the right and the left, you saw the writing, and it was a deep kera that went all the way down to three lines. Or bein shita leshita. Shita leshita means it wasn't a vertical kriya, it was a horizontal kriya. The horizontal kriya between one line and the next line. We learned yesterday that you had to have a space of a line between one line and the next. So you had a very, very good, even kriya, but unfortunately it was a long kriya between a shita and a shita. My, what's the din here? Tumor teiku, tishbi atart. Om Rav Zihiri, Om Rav Chananel, Om Rav. Mezuzah shekosva shtayim shtayim ksheira. Now what means shtayim shtayim? Shtayim shtayim means that you made a very, very long mezuzah. The mezuzah went all the way from your mashkif all the way to the floor. How? Because each line, he only put two words. Instead of writing in the first line, Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad, V'yahavta, and then going on to the next line. No, it just said Shema Yisrael. Right underneath that, Hashem Elokeinu. Right underneath that, Hashem Echad. It was written perfectly, beautifully. But as a result, it's a very, very long and narrow mezuzah. Says Rav, although this is not customary, but it's kosher. The mice, it's kosher.
Has to be one single kriya. It could be two, three.
A mezuzah has to be one
mezuzah. A mezuzah is usually only one cloth. I don't think you go. You can have two dafim. I think it has to
you
be.
You have to write a very long in a giraffe.
Exactly. Or just don't do it that way. Write it normally, and
don't
you don't
take,
have the problem.
Take the side of the behemoth so that it's tall, not wide.
Good.
90 degrees.
Exactly. Anyway, so if you wrote it like that, two words at a time, it's kosher. Let me ask you a question. What happens if you wrote shtayim v'sholish v'achas mahu? That means that you had three lines. On one line you had two words. Next line you had three words. Next line you had only one word. In my Gemara, I assume your Gemara says, well, you have on the left-hand margin, you have an example of that. You have v'hoyu hadvarim, right? There are about five pictures here. So look at the first one, five pictures, diagrams, whatever. So the first one, v'hoyu hadvarim, those are two words. Ha'ele asher anoichi are three words. Metzavacha is one word. So you had two, three, and one. Is that good or not? Mahu, Amrav Nachmar Yitzchak, Kolshkein, Shasoa Keshira, Avad, it's kosher. Why? Because you made it look like a Shira. Shira means like Oz Yosher that you have in the Torah, which is very, when you laned it, we laned it 2 weeks ago in Parshas B'Shalach. You have a beautiful Shira over there. And you see that. Rashi calls it, other Gemaras also talk about whether it's a riach al gabi riach or riach al gabi levena, which means it looks very, very presentable, very nice. Oh, you look at it. Look, it's majestic. It's not just plain words one on top of the other. It's in a poem fashion. Anyway, so therefore it's kusha 100%. No problem. Meisvei, let me ask you a kasha. Asa'a kishira, oishira kamoisa is psula. If you had a Sefer Torah, and when you had regular words, you made it into a shira, like in the middle of Bereshis, automatically you make a shira, where you go and write a couple of words, you have a space, and then a couple of words, and the next line, space, and then words, etc. Or shira kamoisa, if you had the Oz Yashir, and you regularize that by not having the spaces, but having it written like a regular Torah writing. Psula, no good. So writing something kashira when you're not supposed to is a psul. Rav Nachmi Yitzchak says, oh, avad it's kosher, because then it looks like a shira. Making it a shira is worse, it's not better. And for the more kitanya, he was a sefer Torah. There you're talking about a sefer Torah. And of course, it's logical that we're talking about a Sefer Torah because it's bringing both a Torah Keshira, a Shira Kamoisa. You can only have a Shira Kamoisa in a Sefer Torah. You can't have a Shira Kamoisa in a mezuzah because there is no Shira in the mezuzah unless the person is a little bit deranged when he's writing the mezuzah. And he writes Oz Yosher instead of Shema Yisrael or Vayim Shmoya. So therefore, that's obviously talking about a Sefer Torah. By Sefer Torah, that is a problem, but not by mezuzah. It manami Omer Rabba B'chana Omer Rabbi Yechanan V'yamri la Omer Rab Acha Bar B'chana Omer Rabbi Yechanan Mezuzah, which is what we're talking about, Shasah, Shtayim, Shalish, V'achad, Kishayra. However, be very careful. 2, 3, and 1. Ubavad Shlo Yasena Kikuba, Ubavad Shlo Yasena Kizonav. What means Kikuba? That means Dafka, because you did it in such a funny fashion. 2, 3, and 1. Now if you look at the next picture on the side, you see, V'hoyu is 1. Hadvar Ma'ela is 2, Asher Neich Mitzavcha is 3. So this is like in pyramid form. That says the Gemara, no good. Lo Yasena Kikuba. 2, 3, 1 works. 1, 2, 3 does not work. As well as, Ubavachli Yasena Kizanav. Don't make it like an upside down pyramid where it comes down like a tail. And that's the next picture. For Hadvar Ma'ela is 3 words. Asher Neich is 2, Mitzavcha is 1. 3, 2, 1, also no good. It's only good if you make it like a Shira where you have the 2, 3, and 1, that looks poetic, that looks nice, spaces, a little up, but not in case of making it either like a pyramid or like an upside-down pyramid. Amr of Chizza, al-oretz b'shita achrayna. If you ever looked at your mezuzahs carefully when you bought it, for instance, yes, you'll see the last two words on the bottom of the mezuzah, al-oretz. They don't end off the end of a line, meaning there are only two words on the final line of the mezuzah of the Vahayim Shemoya, and that is Ala Oretz on the Shitach Reina. Now, if you ever look at our mezuzahs, they're always written starting from right to left, meaning that the words Ala Oretz are directly beneath the line above it. In other words, the Sofer just continues.
Right justified.
Right justified?
Yes.
Okay, that's the right term. I'm learning all these words today. Desiccate, Medva. Right justified. Kibali. Anyway, that is... So the question is, where do you write it on the Shitach Reina? So again, we always do it on the right justified. However, there's a machlekes. Ikri Amri B'Soif Shita, you do a left justified?
Yes.
You do it all the way on the left. Ikri Amri B'Tchilas Shita, you do it on the right. Now, why would you do it on the left? Man Yamri B'Soif Shita, because it says in the Pasuk, Ki Gvoye Shemayim Ala Aretz. So now, if you look in picture number 4 on the side here, it says, Lehem Kimei HaShemayim Ala Aretz. Now it's literally Shemayim Ala Aretz, because the Shemayim is a top line. Directly above it. Now you're wondering, where does this come from? Oh, that's the Pasuk. Ki Gvoye Shemayim Ala Aretz. It's directly above it. The Shemayim is hovering over the Aretz. Oh, beautiful. Oman di Yomar, v'tchilas shita, ki heche demerchika Shemayim Ala Aretz. It's like the distance between Shemayim Ala Aretz, and since Shemayim is written all the way at the end of the previous line, and here Ala Aretz is the beginning of the first line, so there's a Hagan Tzemerchik. So now you're wondering, what's the importance of all of this? So Rashi says, because we're talking previously about Arichas Yomim, and that is, therefore it makes sense to talk about that the Arichas Yomim should be like Shemayim Ala Aretz, or it should be like the distance. You want to take a quick look at the Rashi. Man di Omar b'soif shita, about 10 lines before the wide lines of Rashi, Kedeshiu Shemayim Ala Aretz, the Masha Kidachsiv, Ki Kervoya Shemayim Al Oretz, Kain Yarech Yomechem. You're going to go and get a Broch of Riches Yom, just like you look outside, you see the heavens are on top of the earth, so too will be the length of your days, that you're also going to be Zochet to that. Madiyom Etchilashita Kaloimar, Boi Archuki Eretz Mishamayim, we want to make it as distant as possible. Tochi Mashra, Keich Vimerchik Shemayim Al Oretz, Kain Yarechu Yomechem. You're going to have a Riches Yom, like the distance between Shemayim Al Oretz. Oh, not just 120 years. But according to, in modern science, they always say from one Shemayim to the other, 500, more in the Masechet Chagiga, that you have 7 Shemayims, and between one and the other is 500 light years, I think they call it, 500, another 500, another 500.
Parsa.
I'm sorry?
Parsa?
Parsa, no, it talks about Chomish Meyashah. Anyway, regardless, the point is that the further the distance, the hopefully the longer the person's lifespan. Good. Amr Abchelbe Chazina Lev Rav Huna. When he puts the mezuzah inside the mezuzah box or inside the wall, wherever he placed the mezuzah on the doorpost, he went and he would go and be korech. He
wound it up.
Wound it from end to beginning, which is the way we do it as well. In other words, the first line is Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. So you start winding it from the Echad side towards the Shema side. Exactly. What is the parashah says? Stumais, and also the parashah in the mezuzah he made stumais. What means stumais? That the top parasha would end in the middle of the line. The Shema Yisrael would end in the middle of the line, and then he would begin Bahayim Shmoya on the same line. As you know, in a Sefer Torah, there's a difference between stumais and psuchais. Stumais means it ends on the line, and then you continue a few words later, a few spaces of words. Few spaces later, you start with the next parsha, while if it's psucha, it means you start on the next line. She said he saw in that mezuzah, that Reb Chelba, the Rav Huna, that he would first wind it up, and also inside the ksav, he saw that the parsha, the first parsha, would be stuma, meaning that he started Bahayim Shemaya on the same line, he didn't leave it to the next line. The Mefarshim asks, if that's the case, why did it say stumais? It should go and just say stuma. So, of course, you could talk about multiple mezuzos. You see, it's a toisis asses. What you suppose you say, stumais, short toisis, about 10 lines at the bottom. Tzaskosha, denokat, loshin, rabim. Vein shumki, and parsha, achas. He only talked about the first parsha, and that's too much, and say stumais. Vishem, mishem, ala oritz, to besoiv shita, since ala oritz, all in the bottom. Avu bishain, kosav klon, achakach. It's also in the middle of the line, so that's
so
not
two,
really.
You have two stumas for each of the parshas.
Yeah, even that's it's not a perfect answer,
right.
Because after all.
There's nothing after Yishemo, after ala oritz, that's the end of the mezuzah cloth.
Exactly, so it's really stumais and psukais, and not really that appropriate. So that's right. So he says, Avu bishain, kosav klon, achakach. Even though there's nothing written after that, but then there's another shinui neschois that changes the lashon of the Gemara, not parshas. Say stuma, but parsha say stuma, and then you don't have a problem in the first place because we're only talking about the top one. We're not talking about the bottom one. Okay, we'll stop over here. Rabbi Yisai, may it be continued tomorrow. Thank you all for listening.